Shalom, Australia. Border Police Officer Hadass Malka, aged 23, was killed during a coordinated attack in two areas in Jerusalem's Old City on Friday night. First, two assailants charged Border Police troops with a homemade submachine gun and knives at Zedekiah's Cave in the Muslim Quarter. They were shot dead. Then Malka was attacked by a knife-wielding man near the Damascus Gate. She fought her attacker for several seconds while attempting to draw her weapon. Nearby troops shot and killed the assailant. Staff Sergeant Malka, a resident of Moshav Givat Ezer, did not survive her wounds. She lives behind parents and five siblings. Yesterday, Israeli security forces temporarily sealed off the village of Deir Abu Mashrut near Ramallah, home of the three who carried out the attacks on Friday. Army troops raided the men's homes where they searched for weaponry, confiscated various documents, and questioned family members. A riot broke out as forces conducted their operations with around 200 Palestinians hurling rocks and Molotov cocktails at soldiers and burning tires as they attempted to block entrances to the village. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson on Wednesday moderated his statement that the Palestinians had ended the practice of paying the families of terrorists jailed for attacking or killing Israelis. Instead, he said there was an active discussion between Washington and Ramallah on the matter. On Tuesday, he announced that PA President Mahmoud Abbas and other Palestinian officials assured him that they would follow through on altering the policy. But a Palestinian official responded that the Palestine Liberation Organization is still paying wages to people convicted of terrorism imprisoned in Israel, despite what Tillerson claimed, and intends to keep doing so. Tillerson said that U.S. President Donald Trump has only a certain window of patience and a certain window which he will remain engaged and interested. At some point, he is going to become disinterested, and when we become disinterested, that will certainly alter our level of support. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Tuesday distanced Israel from the responsibility for the worsening electricity crisis in the Gaza Strip, saying that the matter was an internal Palestinian dispute between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. Senior Israeli ministers decided last Sunday night to reduce the amount of electricity supplied to Gaza by between 45 and 60 minutes a day after Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas cut funding for it. As of Tuesday, the cut had not been implemented. A joint statement of 16 groups, among them Israel's B'Tselem, Peace Now and Rabbis for Human Rights, along with Amnesty International, said they had asked Israel's Attorney General to intervene, warning of a humanitarian crisis. Gazans currently receive only 3 to 4 hours of mains electricity a day delivered from the territory's own power station and others in Egypt and Israel. On Tuesday, acclaimed author David Grossman became the first Israeli to win the Man Booker International Prize for the year's best fiction in translation for his latest novel, A Horse Walked Into a Bar. He said on Thursday that he hoped that his work would help outsiders understand the intensity of our country. The book was described by Nick Bali, chair of the Man Booker International Prize panel of judges, as a work that shines a spotlight on the effects of grief without any hint of sentimentality. We were bowled over by Grossman's willingness to take emotional as well as stylistic risks. Every sentence counts, every word matters in this supreme example of the writer's craft. Grossman's novel tells the story of Dovala, a down-on-his-luck stand-up comic who gives a raw confessional routine in a run-down Netanya nightclub. Culture Minister Miri Regev walked out of the Association of Composers, Authors and Publishers Award Ceremony on Monday evening due to the group's decision to allow an artist to pay tribute to a poem written by Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. Israeli Arab singer Mira Awad, who received an award for promoting Arab creativity within Israeli culture, sang a song using the lyrics to Darwish's Think of Others. Regev, who had warned she would leave if the song was performed, said she welcomed the option of celebrating other Arab songs and poems, but Darwish is another saga. It is permissible to say, and I say so here, Arabic poetry yes, Darwish no. Awad said that Regev was mistranslating the lyrics. I am appalled at the continuing raging incitement against the late poet and his poetry. She invited Regev to educate herself on Darwish's poetry, saying she would never have composed a text written by a Jew hater. Taxi drivers disrupted services at Ben Gurion Airport on Monday in protest of a two-tier pricing policy to give preference to drivers offering a 12% discount on official fares. Taxis offering the discount price are exempt from an airport surcharge and registration fee, which together is worth about 10 shekels, 80 agorot. The Israeli Airport Authority and Hadar Lod, the company that had a 40-year monopoly on airport taxis, reached a compromise by Monday night, by which the regular fare would continue to be charged on Level 1's arrivals hall, while the reduced price would enter into effect on Level 2. UNICEF's Innocenti Report Card 14 on children in the developed world, released on Thursday, ranked Israel 36 out of 37 above only Romania on a chart for 9 child welfare relevant goals. For efforts at reducing economic inequality, Israel was ranked at 39th place out of 41, above only Bulgaria and Mexico. More than one child in three in Israel is considered poor. Israel scored better on efforts to reduce hunger to zero, ranking 13th on the list, and 7th on a ranking of good health and well-being. Only 7.4% of Israeli children below the age of 15 are considered food insecure, defined as a lack of secure access to sufficient, safe and nutritious food that can ensure normal growth and development, as well as an active and healthy lifestyle. That compared to the average among developed countries of 12.7 for the same group. Obesity among 11 to 15-year-olds in Israel is also below the international average. In an extraordinary appeal on Wednesday, top religious leaders from around the world called for interreligious friendship to counter misperceptions, prejudices, and distrust between peoples. In a 3-minute video, the petitioners, including Pope Francis, former UK Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, the Dalai Lama, and Egyptian Grand Mufti Shoki Alam, disseminated their message in 16 different languages. The initiative, organized by the Elijah Interfaith Institute, seeks to reduce social tension around the world by stimulating interpersonal contact between people of different faiths. In the video, Rabbi Sacks says, "One of the wonderful things about spending time with people completely unlike you is that you discover how much you have in common, the same fears, hopes, and concerns." This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.